How you doing, Murdy?
I'm good, Mac. How are you?
How's the little Murdys?
They're wonderful. I hope they keep it down to a low roar over the course of the next 15 minutes or so.
You don't have them tied up in the basement?
not today, no.
Okay, just checking. Your Thanksgiving was good?
Everything was good, thanks. How about you?
Very good. All is well. And McDonald Land, too.
There you go.
Hot stove stuff. I knew that Paxton was being talked about around the league.
Yep.
I was a little surprised that the Mariners were deciding to go in that direction, but if they do, you take advantage, which is exactly what happened. How quickly did this come together?
I think it took a little while. You know, the Mariners were dealing with the Astros, too, but, you know, since the early stages of Seattle basically declaring that they were entertaining offers for anybody, this was on the table and, you know, kind of on the Yankees' radar there with a guy the caliber of Paxton. I think you saw the one report where there were some variations on this deal that might have included Gene Segura. I found that interesting. But Paxton fits the bill in that any pitcher the Yankees were going to trade for, and they do have their eyes on the free agent market as well, but anybody they're going to trade for, if they're going to trade for a starter, they're probably going to have to give up just a Sheffield. I don't think there was any doubt about that, and I think they felt pretty good about what they had to give up in total. You know, Brian Cashman, even on deals that he has stolen players, whether it was Didi Gregorius or Aaron Hicks, he still, you know, he really looks at the deal and says, it's going to hurt in some way. You're hurting your depth or you're hurting potential of these guys developing further. Even those deals, he doesn't really like to admit that he stole guys. He feels like they hurt in some way. So this is going to hurt in some way, too. Losing Sheffield for sure, Swanson, that hurts their depth in a good bit. But it's a deal he had to make, I think, based on the fact that if what he says is true, the Paxton is trending in the right direction, you're going to get 160-plus innings out of this guy next year and real quality, too, because of his hit-and-miss swing-and-miss ability.
It is interesting because I had heard the same things, that when Seattle let it be known that they would be open to trading Paxton, a couple teams, if not a bunch of teams, stepped up and inquired and potentially made offers. And you mentioned Houston. I'd heard the same thing. Because of that, last year we know the Yankees were after and made an offer for and didn't acquire, but would have liked to get Garrett Cole, who ended up with Houston, which means Houston preferred the Astros package to the Yankee package. Not Houston, Pittsburgh preferred the Astros package to the Yankee package offered. This year, if the Astros were involved in potentially acquiring Paxton and he ends up with the Yankees, well, Seattle preferred the Yankee package over the Astro package. Do we therefore compare Garrett Cole and Paxton going forward?
I think they're all kind of separate. If you look at the reason that the Yankees didn't end up with Cole is because of players they did not include in a potential deal. The reason the Astros didn't end up with Paxton was because players they didn't include in the potential deal. So I don't think, you know, they're even as far as that regard, saying, you know, maybe the Yankees had to get him because they didn't get Cole. I don't think they look at it that particular way. I think you're looking at Paxton, though, as a guy who has not, because he hasn't been as durable, he has not pitched like the one or two, because a true one or two adds the durability factor. But I think they feel like he's moved past some of those injuries and has built on it the last couple of years to the point where he's in line to pitch 180 to 200 innings this year. And if they get that, then I don't think they'll be at all dissatisfied with the acquisition cost.
Sweeney here with his son, the Fan. All right, if the Yankees aren't done filling out their starting rotation, if the top three starters in the free agency class are Corbin, Keuchel, and Happ, put those in a priority order, not that the Yankees would want, but are most likely to get Corbin, Happ, Keuchel.
I think Corbin and Happ are at the top of that, and Keuchel maybe further down. And one reason I'm thinking about that is that with Scott Boras representing Dallas Keuchel, the potential to draw that out a little bit further into the offseason certainly exists. And I don't think the Yankees are willing to wait that long. I think they need to fortify. And I'm not convinced they're out on more than one, that they're not looking for more than one. If you look at the idea of CC Sabathia's declining innings and thinking about him as, you know, 130-inning guy, we just told you Paxton's durability hasn't pitched more than 160, even if they think they're going to give him more. See, it wouldn't shock me if they added two more starters. But I do think Corbin and Happ are at the top of that list.
Yeah, I would be surprised if they get two. I think they get one. I don't think they can get their hands on both. Depending on what they do elsewhere, which is where we'll go next. The Manny Machado interest, it is what it is. Some people think it's more. Some people think it's less. Only Brian Cashman knows for sure. Sweeney Murdy's opinion, how Manny Machado would fit with the Yankees if the Yankees come to the determination, here's his value, here's where we're willing to go, he's willing to take it. How do you think Machado would fit?
Well, you know, clearly I think however they're trying to hide their interest, or at least Brian Cashman is, Hal Steinbrenner's comments regards to Manny Machado's comments, that tells you a great deal about their interest level, that it's very high, that they are doing a lot of work to try and determine if, you know, this is a player that they can handle, if this is a player who truly expressed himself when he was saying what he did about Johnny Hustle. And everything Hal Steinbrenner says multiple times now about trying to determine the nature of those comments, it tells you there is serious interest there. Where the numbers land obviously will play a big part in this too. I get mixed reactions from people when I talk, you know, asking around the league, people who know the players and the team and what they think. And, you know, you get the two guys out there, Harper and Machado, could fill different holes at big cost. And maybe there aren't perfect fits. And that's part of the problem here, too. But I get some reaction that Machado is exactly what you saw in October, and you're signing up for 10 more years of that. I get another opinion from somebody who said that, you know, this is a guy who will fall in line as a New York Yankee. You know, he's seen this up close. You know, he plays them 19 times a year. I think he has a pretty good idea of who those guys are and what they're after, and that he can be a part of that mix. As for Harper, I sit here and look at a guy who has talked about wanting to be a Yankee since he was 16. And he's no longer the perfect fit that he was a couple of years ago for a couple of different reasons, because of Stanton's contract and his position added in, because of the last couple of years of Harper's production and where he potentially fits in now. But I still won't ever believe he's not going to be a Yankee until he's holding up somebody else's jersey at a press conference. So both these guys, and as far as Harper's you know, makeup and fitting in type of thing, I get mixed reviews on that too. Like, you know, look at what happened in D.C., a championship caliber team with high expectations, big payroll, big players, and falling flat. And others come back to kind of what I alluded to, that this guy's always wanted to be a Yankee and that he strives to be great, and this would put his stamp on, he would just put a stamp on his greatness, a great career, if he could be here and win a ring or two. So I don't know where the right answer is, Mac. I know that there is not a shortage of people to fall on both sides of this, is what I found.
Fair enough. All right, let's assume the Yankees don't get Machado, whether they do or don't get Harper, but they don't get Machado. And we know Didi Gregorius is going to be out for whatever portion of next year is. Could be a couple months, could be well into the season. We don't know exactly when, but we believe he's coming back, but we know he's going to miss a big chunk of change. Gleyber Torres playing shortstop for the few times that he had this past year. I need two answers from you. Number one, Sweeney Murdy's assessment of Gleyber Torres' defense at shortstop and his ability to play it, let's say, for at least a half a season this upcoming year, and what you've either perceived or been directly told is the Yankees' opinion of Gleyber Torres playing shortstop for half a season.
Okay at the position to while he filled in, not a long-term answer. And I think from what I've gathered, that's the Yankees' preference, is to leave him at second base. They are leaving the option open of playing him at shortstop. But I don't believe that they feel their best defense is with him at shortstop, because also of Andujar on the left side. The Yankees just traded for a left-handed starter. They now have two in the rotation. They might add a third. That's a lot of ground balls potentially to the left side, and that's, you know, infield defense was one of the weakest parts of the team last year. This isn't an overall telling stat, but I found it interesting. The Yankees turned the fewest double plays in all of baseball this year by
really?
A long shot. Now, the Red Sox turned the second fewest. They won the World Series. The Dodgers turned like the third or fourth fewest, and they were in the World Series. But it was clear watching the games all year that the Yankees were giving away outs in the infield. There has not been a team that's turned as few double plays as the Yankees did this year in a non-strike season since the 1930s. It showed. It didn't help their pitchers. It's why I believe part of the debate about Machado is that shortstop is no longer his best defensive position, and that's not necessarily a great option for you in the absence of Didi Gregorius. We don't know how long Didi Gregorius is going to be out. We think he'll be back in the middle of summer, but the Yankees thought Derek Jeter was coming back in March when he broke his ankle, and that didn't turn out very well. They were chasing to fill the hole at shortstop all season long. I think what they have to do is figure out the best defensive option for them at shortstop, and that is not Gleyber Torres. He is an option. He is not their best defensive option. And I'm curious now, as I've been asking around the last couple of days and gotten a lot of strong opinions about the player, you've seen him yourself too, Freddy Galvis jumps out at me as a guy who is a really good defensive shortstop. He is a free agent. His defensive numbers rank higher than any other free agent shortstop available. If you can get him on even if you need to get him to a multi-year deal, he is protection for you in case you don't have Didi Gregorius for most of this season. And remember, Didi can be a free agent at the end of the season. Whatever your preference is to sign him or re-sign him, irrelevant at this stage, you would have another option here. And Galvis, if Didi comes back at full strength during the middle of the year, can move to your backup infield utility spot. And when I ask people around the league about this guy, they say supreme defender, best defender on the field, absolutely an option, absolutely a guy they should look at. Don't be afraid of signing him for a couple of years. He has value. That's where I'm kind of curious as to how they fill that hole, because to me, the Yankees have enough offense. That defensive hole at shortstop is something they need to fill. Even with Didi Gregorius, who we all think is pretty good, they still had overall a poor infield defense last year.
Interesting name. I'll give you my Galvis read, because, yeah, I've seen Freddie play hundreds, if not 1,000 games. Has never won a Gold Glove, which to my mind is highway robbery, because he is a Gold Glove-level shortstop. It's because he doesn't hit, and we can get off on a debate of should offense ever affect Gold Glove. Does it? It shouldn't, but we won't even go down that road. But he is that good. Your estimation of his defense is dead on. Here would be my problem with giving him a multi-year contract. Freddie is a below-average offensive player. Mm-hmm. He does every once in a while surprise. He's got a little pop. He could play every day. He's going to hit double-digit homers, and he might even sneak up near 20. But he's been an everyday player for years. And you're going to bring him in and make him an everyday shortstop for a period of time, but then Gregorius is going to come back. I have no clue how Freddie Galvis would be as a spare part.
Correct.
A guy coming off the bench and playing once a week or sits for 10 straight days.
And here's why once a week is, it's you know, remember, they at the end of the season, they started taking out Miguel Andujar for defense quite a bit. That can still be an option for you there to get him innings and get him rest. Just remember how they use Adini Echevarria, who I think will also be an option for you. But you know, I'm just curious about the idea of Galvis, who's out there, because I think he rates higher than Echevarria. You're right when you talk about everyday players struggling to utility roles. We saw it with Neil Walker earlier this year, but I find it intriguing as an idea because you can promise him the starting shortstop job. Just
for
not
a period
for,
of time, yeah.
Yes, you just don't know how long it's going to last, and it just becomes it's something to build in some protection. And as I've said, because of the way the Yankees, what they hopefully learned from the Derek Jeter situation a few years ago, is that you have to protect yourself with a real option there, not knowing how well the starter is going to come back or when, for how long.
And I'd like to say I remember, because Freddie's a shortstop, how he played third base. He played there very, 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 very occasionally.
Yeah, right. I mean, more second base, I guess. I don't know how much
he's,
he played third.
He's a gold glove second baseman. If you played him at second, I'm telling you, he'd win a gold glove at second base. Mm-hmm. But I don't remember him at third. And if you're saying he could do the defensive replacement thing for Andujar, I'm sure he'd be really good at it because he's just a really good fielder, but he's had very little experience.
That's what I've gathered from the people I've talked to. I don't have a great history of watching him, so I've asked around. When I saw his defensive rating, it kind of jumped out at me. And when I say multi-year deal, you know, if you can get him on a two-year deal, it's not a bad thing because you still, if you need to deal him, he'll have value. And that's what I've gathered from the people I've talked to.
Sweeney, good stuff. We ran a little long. I kept you a little longer than I should have. Go let the kids out wherever you had them penned up during the last 20 minutes.
Thanks, Mac.
Thanks for hopping on, brother. We'll talk.